Let's pray together. Our kind and gracious and faithful God, we are thankful that you are here with us today. We're thankful for your presence in days past and for your promises to always be with us, to never leave us, to never forsake us. We ask that you continue to be with us as we give you honor and glory and as we build up one another in the name of Jesus. Amen. A word to the wise, let all things be done for building up. A word to the wise. That's kind of like when Jesus said, for those with ears to hear. It tells us to pay attention, if we can, to not let worries overcome what we need to notice. As 1 Corinthians tries to get us to peel back the layers of our worries, our distractions, the things that sometimes overtake us, it immediately starts leading to what 1 Corinthians calls first things, like the most important things that are more important than anything else that we can imagine. And according to the Word of God, it seems that we are here for two reasons. Like here in general and here right now this morning. One of the most obvious ones, to give God our hearts, to give God the glory. Maybe that's the simple act of faith where we say thank you. It's our vertical worship. But the second big reason we are here is best summed up in all of Scripture in just one verse, the churchiest church verse in the whole Bible. 1 Corinthians 14:26. What should be done then, my friends? When you assemble, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. When I was a child, I wanted to be able to run fast. I never could. But I wanted to. We used to have field days. Which field days in kindergarten is like the equivalent of Olympics for awkward kids who just stand around and wait to be told, go or do this. We were told, I remember this, I vividly remember in kindergarten, we're going to have a field day at the end of the week. I was like, yay! What's a field day? And then they took us outside. They said, wear shorts and t-shirts. We wore shorts and t-shirts, went outside, Arlington, Texas, Duff Elementary, this big open field out behind the school. Didn't know what was going to happen. They were just, you know, we're just going to go outside. That's great. And then we started doing these competitions, and one of them was to run fast, like a 50-yard dash. And there was this little boy in our kindergarten class who we were on the same team, and he was the one chosen to run, and rightly so. But I was so jealous because he could run so fast, and I wanted to run fast. I couldn't, never could, still can't, but I wanted to do what he did, run super fast. But I could kick a football farther than anyone else in my class. And that was the part that I was supposed to do. So I won that event. The other one that I won was taking a handful of saltine crackers and shoving them in your mouth and chewing until you could be the first one to whistle. That was an actual event. Stuff your mouth full of saltines and then whistle. It ranked right up there with the other paragons of athletic prowess, like the three-legged race, the potato sack race, and nobody's favorite, the tug of war. But all those were eclipsed by my kindergarten sadness because I wanted to run fast, which I never did, never could. But he and I together on our team, along with this little girl named Sunday, who I remember had a bowl haircut, who won the javelin throw. Now, the javelin throw in kindergarten was a large straw. And most of the boys were trying to strong arm it, and she had the finesse to just do it just right. Our team won. We were champions that day of the 5 and 6 year olds. You're going to read these words out of 1 Corinthians about the different parts of the body of Christ forming together to be something that we could not be on our own. And then when we soak in these transforming words about what love is not, that highlights what love is, that's when we experience together the full weight of God's glory. In its bigger context, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about all these spiritual gifts, all the things that people bring to the body of Christ. Some people can do this well, some people can do this well. You know, I can't sing my way out of a barn. There's no way. Others, oh, the voices in here, they're breathtaking. We come together to form what we could not be on our own. That's what 1 Corinthians 12 is about, these gifts from God. Then skip a chapter to 1 Corinthians 14, and it's about what worship looks like, what the church looks like together. When you take all of these assembled parts that God has blessed in these various ways, and then you bring them together into acts of worship, and together they form something that they could not be by themselves, would be irrelevant. You know, a single voice sounds great. It's not the same as, you know, 100 voices all singing at the same time. It's just, it's not the same thing. So that's 12 and 14. But the great thing about 1 Corinthians is that sandwiched between, here are all your gifts, and here's what these gifts look like when they come together, is a statement about love is patient, love is kind. And then this wonderful little line at the end that you've probably noticed that sometimes translates love never ends. Sometimes it translates love never fails. I think it's just sort of this fancy Greek way of bringing up another concept. Not love never fails, not love never ends, but what if love never dies? Because just like that sandwich between 12 and 14, well, 14, this verse about all things are to be done for building up, that's what the church does, that is sandwiched between love never dies and then this beautiful statement that we'll get to eventually in 1 Corinthians 15 about something else that never dies. 1 Corinthians 15 is all about resurrection. So guess what else never dies? Those who are in Christ, as we are today. So you have just this wonderful little step ladder of 12, 13, 14, and 15 that tells this story. And then there's this wonderful little line right in the middle. What should be done then, my friends? Good question. And then 1 Corinthians 14, 26 answers it this way. When you assemble, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. There's more. That's a few on the list. But then this great line, let all things be done for building up. All things done for building up has taken on new meaning in the last week since we were originally supposed to hear this. This sermon was all ready to go last Sunday. Ready to go. It's changed over the last week because we've changed. How could we not have changed after this? Now, all things done for building up has new meaning. I used to think when you assemble that what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 14 was worship services on Sunday morning. You know why I thought that 1 Corinthians 14 was about worship services on Sunday morning? Because I was told by a number of people somewhere along the way, this is about worship services on Sunday morning. Well, okay, I guess that's what it means. That's the way we have to read it. This week has changed things. I don't think it's that, not anymore. At least it's not limited to this hour. What we're doing, sure, all things done for building up. We are assembled. But since Tuesday and Wednesday, many of us have been on work crews that assembled to start cleanup efforts. And certainly when we assembled on Wednesday, and when we assembled on Thursday, Friday, yesterday, and today, and tomorrow, and days to come, these are things that are done for building up. In some ways, quite literally, but make no mistake, these two are acts of worship. Because after all, you know what the word worship means originally? I love this. Worship means the work of the people. Yeah, what we're doing here this morning is the work of the people, but so is everything else. I've marveled this past week at how quickly differences were set aside in order to serve one another. Politics, race, class distinctions, personal differences, all these things were set aside in order to serve to the glory of God. And it convinced me. It didn't just start influencing me a little bit. I'm absolutely convinced that if we let these things separate us, that they were so quickly set aside in order to serve in the name of Jesus, then were they ever that important to begin with? In the grand scheme of things? Then, faith, hope, and love remain. But because faith and hope are based in things we cannot see and things yet to come, the greatest of these is actually the one that we put into practice every day. With all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. Do you know what the greatest of these is? You heard this one before? Faith, hope, and love remain, but the greatest of these is... And love always builds up. Sometimes we can let faith separate us. It's sad, but it's true. Love is what brings us back together. Love is what builds up. Sometimes we hope in different things. And sometimes each one of us might think that the things I hope for are more important than the things someone else hopes for. Okay. That may or may not change. But love is what brings us back together. Love is what builds up. And according to the Word of God, let all things be done for building up. Some days, I'm not patient. And some days, I'm not kind. But maybe on that day, you are. So when we come together, we lean on one another's strengths to the glory of God. And some days we even compensate for one another's temporary weaknesses as we build up one another. Our act of worship, whether here or anywhere for that matter, is kind of like singing the godly equivalent of "Lean on me when you're not strong. I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on." You know the rest of it, right? "For it won't be long. I'm going to need somebody to lean on. A word to the wise, for those with ears to hear. Let all things be done for building up." Amen.